right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome in the huddle, Coach Muddle, with the professor, Keith White. I appreciate the coming on. We changed the time, so I know a few of you people are going to probably miss us this morning live because used to the hour later, even though I'm a little partly cloudy this morning. We're here early, 9 a.m. So, and unfortunately, Billy doesn't know his schedule correctly until last minute, apparently. So, he will not be joining us, and probably a good thing if you've been listening to his picks, because you know he's been mushed for some reason. So, Professor, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. No green screen needed, as you can see. It would just be too pixelated, so you guys get the real deal. This is Stu Hart's basement dungeon where all the submission wrestling takes place.
Yeah, with the wrestling thing you put up, tag team thing. I tell you, it's we're gonna have to have a little discussion about that, because I think you missed quite a few tag teams.
So you're taking it better than some people. I had somebody who actually said that they were gonna bitch slap the guy who. It was disrespecting the Rock and Roll Express. So,
oh man, yeah, my boys, the Rock and Roll Express.
You old school wrestling fans, man. You know, you're a fierce bunch, I tell you.
Man, it is, you know. So, but yeah, crazy college weekend. We had a few, you know, the U upset, and that was the biggest one that I saw yesterday, unfortunately, but we get into the professional ranks today, because that's what we're doing, and of course, by the way, just a quick announcement in case you haven't heard, you're still a little partly cloudy like myself. The Giants are 2-0. Just in case you didn't know that is a real stat. First time since I think it's like 2016 or something.
Yeah, 2016.
Like that. So yeah. So hey, how about that? Go, baby. And let me ask you, Professor, where do you want to start today? What last week? What jumped out at you? I think we start with your Ravens because, I mean, they looked like the cruise control and they didn't realize they came up on some traffic and forgot to pump the brakes.
So here's the situation. This year, the stat, I think, is like they've only had 29 carries for 74 yards rushing. So when the whole identity of the team is not there, you're struggling. Greg Roman, you know, to me, a one-trick pony. Not the biggest fan of him. Yes, did he play to Lamar's strength a couple years back? Of course. But you know as well as I do, all you need is some game tape and be able to figure out something on guys. That's how I look at it. So, to me, I think it's time for a new coordinator. But, of course, the defense making – Tua look like a Madden video game player in the fourth quarter is absolutely ridiculous. He had pedestrian numbers the first three quarters, and then the game, I don't know. I've heard people say that they should already fire the defensive coordinator. I think that's unfair. For starters, the guy's, young 30s? And all.
Yeah, he was the assistant, then went to go work for John's brother out in Michigan. And then now came back, you know. And listen, as a Giant fan, I'm excited that I'm so happy that you guys fired Wink Martindale and we were able to pick him up, man, because I've been a big fan of that dude for a long time. I like his style. And hold on, we gotta time out because I forgot, everyone. Now Professor, you got to tell us, because, you know, didn't you make it to like the quarterfinal, semifinal to be, you know, Ronnie the Raven mascot?
I got the call back, you know, to come. I was part of that, you know, that coaching carousel that you had, the big junk interview where you just show up and
what's the matter? You couldn't do the backflip? Is that what got you?
I don't know if you've seen me, but I can't do any flip. I could flip the bird, and that's about it. So yeah, I mean, they're hurting down to their mascot. If you know, they brought back old mascots to try and help out. That's where things are right now. But it's very ironic because the reason the Ravens got rid of Wink is due to fourth quarter, you know, meltdowns, which is the reason.
And it had nothing to do that they had, you know, pedestrian guys working at like Royal Farms playing in the secondary. I mean,
injuries,
you know.
Right? Injuries. I've questioned that since they did it, but you know, we'll see where that goes. But it's just ironic that the guy that they replaced to try and limit those fourth quarter meltdowns had one of the biggest fourth quarter meltdowns. Actually, no, a historical fourth quarter meltdown last week. So it is what it is. New week, you got to move on. It's beginning of the season. It's very early. You can recover. So we'll be okay.
I agree. I think, you know, because I'm still not buying the Miami Dolphins. I'm still not buying Tua. You know, I just don't think he's the guy. I think there's some really good pieces around him, but I just don't think he is the guy.
No. You look at all of his numbers throughout the first two games. It's not good. You know, he's just, there's a reason they were trying to get rid of him in several different ways. There, you know, he is who we thought he is, right? He's as advertised. Yeah, he is absolutely as advertised. Now, can he, like, should he, with the weapons he has, right? If he was better, if he was a better quarterback than that, you know, with the weapons he has, man, he should be at least 300 yards a game, limit your picks, two touchdowns a game. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league who would absolutely kill to have the weapons that he has at his disposal. So I don't know. I don't see him moving along.
Right. I agree. 100%. You know, and what about the Browns? I mean, granted, now they were able to bounce back on Thursday night against a really, you know, I don't know what we call the Steelers right now. I mean, are you ready to push the panic button? I mean, because quoting Mike Tomlin, I think, you know, I think you're starting to pee down your leg, you know? I mean, you know, so I don't know what's going on there in Pittsburgh, but Cleveland was able to bounce back after, I mean, another, you know, horrific collapse. In the fourth quarter,
I think when there's something to be said about culture, and you know, it's the same way with the Ravens because it's.
But it was the Jets.
I'm talking about Steelers, right?
Yeah.
You were asking about what's wrong with the Steelers, the panic button, right? So to me, is the culture there is. Talent doesn't necessarily get a pass like it does anywhere else. Like you've talked about, you know, talent will always get you a second chance.
Right.
You know, in Pittsburgh, if you mouth off at the slightest, you're pretty much gone. So, right. You know, they've had guys that they could still have and have a nucleus that has been depleted because of guys coming to the NFL, a little too much swag. And, you know, they're gone because the attitude doesn't match the culture. They did a really bad job, to me, of preparing for the future with Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, I agree with that, yes.
Ben was lucky to even get his second chance after the way he used to act back in the day, correct?
Right.
You know,
yes.
allegations were strong and behavior was poor. So if Ben is a team player and recognizes the second chances that he had, they should have been coming up with a better plan than what they have, because I feel like the quarterbacks that they have are not the answer. And with an offensive line, you don't want to put Kenny Pickett behind that line. You're gonna David Carr his career. You know, you don't want to do that to a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, they kind of followed the Giants with, you know, keeping Eli a little too long. You know, Eli, you know, keeping him around a little too, you know, past the expiration date. The fridge started stinking, you know, and you needed to throw that milk out, but you decided to keep it. You know, you thought it was good for one more breakfast, but, you know. It didn't work. So I think they're going to struggle. And it's a shame because, you know, I like Mitch, but unfortunately just and I think more in Mitch's defense, though, I'm pointing my finger more at Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, than I am at Mitch. I think the play calling, you know, because obviously Thursday night's the only game, so you're watching it. And, you know, props to Amazon, which, you know, I think is just a big work to get everybody to, you know, buy into the big machine. But I like how you watch the stat channel or whatever, and you can, you know, see that, watch the film almost like a coach's tape. It's really good. If you haven't checked it out, do so. I highly recommend it, especially if you are a newbie to football, trying to learn it. I think that really helps you out quite a bit.
I think it's the route they're going too. Like, I think that's why they do that.
Right. But I really think it's the play calling. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason for some of the plays that he is calling. And I mean, you're in a funk. You're trying to, so you got to build, you got to, you know, put some plays together, but why you keep throwing the ball deep? There's no little short, you know, build up some confidence, make some short completions and then let's take some chances. I you know, and how many times you're going to run the same end around? I mean, come on now. You know, you got a really stout running back and then you go away from it. Yeah. That's not Mitch's fault.
I think part of that is due to the line. But for me, like you said, a stout running back, if you can get him some short passes and get him involved in the passing game, I mean, you know as well as I do now, you know, the game is faster. The defensive players are smaller. Oh, hey, there you go. The defensive players are smaller. You know, a stout running back, you've seen what happens like with the way Derrick Henry can just absolutely dominate games.
Except against the Giants, yes.
Well, yeah, but you get Najee Harris in some open space, and you know he'll move the chains for sure. Question for you: would Mitch Trubisky thrive with the Dolphins' weapons that they have?
You know, I think that's a tough, but I think Mitch would, and because you gotta look at those. You know, you're talking about Tyreek Hill, who's getting those short passes and turns them into those big long gains. That's the key. You're not asking Tua to throw the ball 40 yards down the field. You're asking him to make a 8-9 yard completion and let the athletes turn that into the big gain. And you're not seeing that in Pittsburgh.
Game manager, basically. Manage yeah. the game.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, you're asking him, you're asking, I just think you're not getting in his wheelhouse and doing things that Mitch is good at. He's good at, you know, and most quarterbacks in the league, I think every single one of them can make those short passes under 10 yards and let your athletes do the rest. You know, and rely a little bit more on the running game.
Yeah, I agree. I could see him having a little bit more success with those guys because you said the athletic ability there, the yards after the catch. Yeah. I was disappointed with, obviously, the game overall. Credit to the Browns, though. You know that Baker Mayfield is sitting back and, you know, just wondering what could have been. But do you want to talk about that Panthers game?
Hey, he had his opportunity.
He did. He did. You're right.
And so I'm sorry. You've been part of this show since Jump Street, pretty much. Yeah. And, you know, I've never been a Baker Mayfield guy. Oh, I always thought he was the hold up. He was holding that team back. I thought they were a big playoff team. You know, I mean, come on, they have the best running duo in the league. We haven't seen that since like the 80s with a running tandem like those guys, you know? So, and I just think it was him. And you're going to see that in, unfortunately, in Carolina. And Matt Rhule is going to be back in college next year, unfortunately. And I hate to say it, I love Matt. Coach Rhule is the man. I appreciate him. But unfortunately, I just think he, you know, kind of gotten a couple bad eggs.
I also think today that Baker Mayfield's going to get exposed with that Saints defense coming at him. Exposed more, I should say. And it's a shame, man, with the Browns. That you think about, like, obviously the OBJ situation. But then also, like, not utilizing Jarvis Landry, who has, you know, some of the best hands in the game. You know, I still struggle to wonder what the heck happened, you know, with him with there. But today, I think with the Browns and the Panthers and the Saints, we're going to see a bloodbath, and it's going to go the Saints' direction. They got Jameis Winston back. They got Kamara back. I don't see it going well for the Panthers, and I don't see it going well for Baker Mayfield. And the problem with him, you know, I think he's done a relatively good job of, you know, handling criticism. Like, you know, but he's also like the first quarterback that I've seen to say, hey, I'm injured. Like, leave me alone. I'm hurting. You know, most of the guys don't talk about that. So I don't know if he's part of that new age quarterback situation or what, but I see them getting exposed today even worse. Christian McCaffrey's going to be about it, I think, as a factor in the game today. That's my personal opinion.
And not even. I mean, he's not – so when was the last time he finished a season? Honestly, I can't remember. So I just don't know. So –
right.
But we'll see. But moving on, I think, you know, we got a big one. Probably one of the last times we'll probably see Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Obviously the playoffs, but I mean in a regular season matchup, I just think it's gonna be you know, and obviously it's the game of the week. It's the prime 4:30 game this week. So, but it's going to be a good one. I mean, the Packers, you know, I guess, you know, Aaron Rodgers have they done the Kumbaya circle and come together, or, you know, to earn some trust or what? I don't know yet. So,
they're all drinking that tea is what it is. They're all drinking. He brought tea for everybody. It's a tea party.
Yeah.
Shoo. I'll be interested to see that too. Thank God for him, for his running backs. I mean, if he didn't have Jones and Dylan, could you imagine the trouble he'd be in every week?
Right? Yeah.
That's another team that – and. It's well known. Like, that's why he's acted the way he's acted in the last few years, because they don't prepare. They tried to prepare for the future after him with a second round pick.
Right.
Could have gotten a decent wide receiver. I mean, it's crazy when you look at all the teams, you know, on Detroit, Equanimeous St. Brown, right? He's lighting it up for Detroit with Goff.
Right,
and he did on Hard Knocks. He did a list of all the wide receivers taken before him.
Right.
Now you're sitting there and telling me that the Packers couldn't have snatched him up. You know, like,
oh, absolutely. But you know, and listen, You got to remember at the time, new regime came in, new general manager, new coach, and, you know, they took a shot. I think they thought they could have gotten rid of Aaron, got a big haul, kind of like Dallas back in the day with the Herschel Walker kind of deal, and didn't get any takers, but took the quarterback anyway. So I think it kind of bit him a little bit, and it's probably better that it hasn't, because, I mean, let's face it, we've seen in the limited times we've seen the backup play, Love, is not very good.
Oh, he's definitely not the future. I mean, this is another situation where I think this next draft, they're probably going to have to draft. They're going to have to talk to Aaron and say, "Hey, dude, we're going to draft a guy. You know, He doesn't have to play next year, but he has to play whenever you're done. You know, so please help him out."
Well, I'm not a fan of that. I really am not. I am. Go get yourself a veteran guy. Let him come in and be the placeholder. Let him come in for 2 years. Get rid of Aaron Rodgers. Bring in a, you know, Fitzpatrick kind of placeholder guy. Let him hold the placeholder until the new guy comes in. And Aaron can't be in the building. It's, you know, he's too much of a drama queen. Let's face it. I mean, most of those guys are. I mean, unless you're Eli Manning. Oh, shucks, I'll help him out. You know, I mean, come on, let's face it. Eli made the Daniel Jones pick anyway. It wasn't the Giants made that pick. Eli did. So.
Which is bad when you're taking draft advice from Eli Manning. But hey.
There's nothing I can say about it, because it is what it is, you know? I mean, yeah. But.
It is crazy to me when you think about, you know, with the way Aaron Rodgers, you know, is acting and tantrum Tom Brady down in the South, in the dirty South, you know, he's bringing his struggles to the forefront, you know, so I'll be interested to see about that game. I wonder what the effect of not having Mike Evans is going to do.
And Godwin's out too, isn't he?
He might be. Yeah. Which means, it's the Julio Jones show, baby. Let's take this back to 2014. Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And you know, we got the Bengals and their Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah,
because struggle. Honestly, I've never seen so much press on a team that lost the Super Bowl, because I felt like there was just as much Joe Burrow stuff as there was Matthew Stafford stuff during the offseason. You know, I mean, I thought the winner goes to spoils. I thought that's how it worked.
I think it's because the super underdog story of the Bengals just resonates with fans. You know, Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford's a veteran quarterback. Joe Burrow's a damn near a rookie. You know, he walks around with that chain, the swag. Right. You know, it's a young man's league, Coach.
I hear you.
He's like, you know, he's one of the new, like, heartthrobs quarterbacks. Look, I got problems in my own house. I got a new football fan in the house, and it's because of Joe Burrow, you know? It was like, when's – so what time is the Bengals game? I was like, no.
That's not going to fly.
Don't date those football players. how about for at least one more game, we get not so January Joe. We get Joe Flacco one more time, you know, doing his thing for the Jets, slinging that ball all over the field, you know. The concession stand worker catches one of them, goes for 20.
Hey, look, because you know, up there in the Jets facility, they're collecting receipts, man. They're collecting receipts. They're so They're saving their receipts. So I don't know what they get for saving their receipts, because there's no returns. You purchased it. There's no return. So no need to save your receipt, by the way. You know,
it's just, it is funny to me, you know. And did you hear that Robert, how do you pronounce his last name? Sala. He says he just wants to leave. This is bad. He just wants to leave the Jets a better team than they were when he got there. So he's already
got a foot out the door. But now here's the thing, and I don't know what it is about New York, where these guys come, and you know Ben McAdoo. Remember, like him, he was just a regular guy. All of a sudden, head coach. He's got his hair slicked back. He's got the porn stash going, and all of a sudden changes things. And same thing, Robert Saleh comes in and said all the right things. Joe Judge, too, said all the right things. And then all of a sudden he turns it into a clown show. And Robert Saleh, oh, now we're collecting receipts. I don't know how you fall into that trap of what it is. It's just, hey, we got to do a better job. Let's go, man. I mean, yeah, the Jets are – I don't understand, but they made some. Joe Douglas has got to start getting the finger pointed at him, because some of that talent that he's gotten has not worked out.
Right, and you look at
Mekhi Becton.
What's that?
Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, right, and a high pick too.
He was a top ten pick,
and that's what I think. That's always the heartbreak of the draft, right? Because you watch the draft and you realize that. In the first round, where you're all your capital lies, that what you're gonna have like 6-7 guys in that whole draft really pan out, and maybe have another 4 that will be good, and then you'll have like way too many busts. It's a shame, when you look at just how the cookie crumbles in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. Because you look at your first round pick is day one starter. You have to look at it that way. This is a guy that is plug and play. Let's go and go. And, there was a lot of questions with Becton coming out of the draft. I mean, you could have had Wirf was still there. The kid from Cleveland was still there. You had some other guys. And I mean, I thought he was the lowest ranked tackle out of that group of tackles, because he's always been battling the weight issue and whatnot. So
whenever your pick is described by all the pundits as a project in the first round, you screwed up the first round. So
hey, listen, the New York Football Giants, Eric Flowers, just throwing that out there, because project.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh man, yeah, it's a shame, but we don't get paid to do that. But it would be fun. It'd be fun 1 year to just somehow, some way, end up on a team and do like the scouting, leading up to the draft. That'd be kind of fun. Although I could see you especially just getting into crazy shouting matches with executives, no filter, zero F's given.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Prickly. Prickly. You and Hallie Roseman, I would die. I'd pay good money to sit there and watch that.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the, you got to have some passion. I look at it's passion, and I mean, coach, I'll take an example, down in Florida, doing some stuff, and all the coaches looked at me because I kind of went off the handle because hey, this isn't what you brought me in to do. We're doing this, and but after it's over, you shake hands and you leave it out on the field and you move on with your day, man. Sammy, what's up, buddy? Slapped around a little bit. You think they might get slapped around a little bit? Listen, does anybody care besides you? I mean, that's my question. It's the Commanders, dude. And you know, because I'm waiting. Because I mean, look, you've the basketball dude forced to sell his team, but yet Daniel Snyder not having to do any of that. And I think the professor just jumped off, fell out a little bit, but it's okay. He's all good, man. So
I figured the viewers didn't want to see me or hear me blow my nose, you know.
Oh, got you. Okay. Got you, man.
I'm just being respectful. See, coach, you're not used to this on, you know, you're not used to decorum, you're not used to, you know, manners, you're not used to these things. Right. Because you're an absolute savage. Sammy, I wish we could get Sammy on, because what happened to the Washington defense that was supposed to be back together and
you have all these number one draft picks on the defensive line, you know.
Watching the game last week, I mean, eventually they made a run at it, you know, for a respectable comeback. But man, I was shocked to see, you know, just how dominating things were last week against the Commanders. And Del Rio, yeah, I would agree. Sammy says Del Rio looks out of touch. Absolutely agree. I also think he's probably lost the locker room. And that's one thing they're not talking about. Coach, you're right. You know, about the owner and just.
I agree with that, Sammy. Carson looks good. I must admit, you know, he's, you know. But yeah, but you got to remember Del Rio, that's kind of what's his name's boy, Ron Rivera, that's his boy. They're kind of married together, so to speak, you know. You don't have to be, but sometimes it's a little tough, and you know, as a coach, you kind of stick with what you know, and that's one of your guys. But if you remember, Del Rio's kind of had some issues everywhere, every stop he's been at. Jacksonville, the Raiders, you know.
Was he the defensive coordinator when, I think it was, Sammy can help me out, like 2019 or so, when Washington made the playoffs?
Yes, he's been there since Rivera's been there.
That really good, really dominant defense. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting about Carson, right? Because I'm sitting there. I even made a bold pick on a different show that the Colts would go to the Super Bowl. Because I was like, with Matty Ice instead of Carson Wentz, it's going to be okay. Man, it looks like it might be a Colts thing with their depth and yeah. Their lack of depth. And because Matty Ice has looked horrible for the Colts. So maybe it wasn't all Carson Wentz on that fall apart at the end of the year. Because, man.
You may be right. You may be right, you know.
Because this show, like we've all just battered Carson Wentz for 2 years, you know? So it's very interesting and good for him. If you know, we talk about reclamation projects and it doesn't always work out. A lot of times it doesn't work out for, you know, like there's always the hope, right, that a guy can clean it up somewhere else. But, you know, if he actually does it, good on him and good on the Commanders, because that was a low risk, high reward pickup for them to get him. So let's see how that goes.
Absolutely. I agree. And I mean, they drafted that kid Howell late in the draft from North Carolina. And I really think that this is good. You know, Carson gets, you know, his feet back under him.
You calling him a bridge quarterback?
And I'm calling him a bridge quarterback is what I am. That's what you're delegated to now, is to be that bridge guy, where now you can prove that you can go in and carry a team, you know, manage a team for 2 years while you develop the young quarterback.
Okay.
And look, hey, Fitzmagic made a career out of it. He lasted 20 seasons in the NFL. Yeah. Going, what did he go to, like 14 or 15 different teams? To, you know, to be that guy. And once you get comfortable in those shoes, you'll be successful.
Yeah.
You know, I tell everybody, once you're comfortable in your shoes, then success will come. I mean, you know, I am comfortable being prickly. I'm not, this isn't an act for the show. And, you know, Professor will tell you, this is what you get, you know,
and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, man. That's right. So, you know, and you got to be comfortable in it, you know, and there you go. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Speaking of not being comfortable in their own shoes yet, we got the Texans and we got the Bears with Justin Fields. This has been, they got rid of Matt Nagy and they gave this new coach nothing.
Yep. You know, and they got rid of what's his name? The big pass rusher, Mack.
They got rid of their best defender and their best wide receiver.
Yes.
So leaving Darnell
Mooney. The color bear.
Yeah. Leaving Darnell Mooney as the best pass catcher. Justin Fields.
Wait, don't they have the tight end though? Didn't they draft that big tight end from like Iowa or something? They got a good tight end there, well, I think.
If they did, you talk about Cole Kmet or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about that because he has ruined my fantasy teams in a couple of leagues, okay? Because I'm watching him getting seven balls a game in the preseason. He was my late round sleeper tight end. I was picking him up, not worrying about tight end, you know, not trying to, you know, to reach for Kelce and Kittle. I'm like, right. I'm going to be great with Cole Kmet. It's going to be fantastic. Coach Muddle, 0.0 isn't just a grade point average. It's my stats for tight ends. Okay. It's not been good. I've already like, no, don't talk about Cole Kmet with me, but Justin Fields getting like 70 yards passing in a game. I mean, this is not good. And then he's now got the Bears fans angry with him because he decided that it'd be a good thing to talk about, hey, you guys aren't playing on Sundays. We are. You know, be nice to us. So, you know, he's got himself a little hot water with the fans.
It's not well you know, the problem is, I think, is that management is still stuck in 1985.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you see them beating the Texans today?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
I don't.
I actually think the Texans, compared to the Bears, are on a better trajectory in terms of, like, moving on up, you know, like, course-correcting the ship. I don't know what coach could come in and help the Bears or what GM could come in and help the Bears, but it's not who they got right now. Because,
well, I tell you what, if you're and I said the Giants should have done this with instead of drafting Barkley, but you know, okay, you're here we are week three already talking about the Bears going to have probably a top five pick. You know, is you already have a quarterback. You're getting to find a team that is willing to give up picks and you can fill a lot of holes relatively quickly on your team instead of being Dave Gettleman and talking about we're drafting a guy who's going to have a gold jacket on and really hasn't done anything since he's a rookie. And I know Giant fans get on me, but again, I don't care who the general manager is. The Giants don't pay running backs. So all he is doing is showcasing himself for another team. And we will be fine with a running back that we will get in the fourth or fifth round of next year's draft. So, you know,
I think if, cause I was worried that Saquon, you know, might get shipped off to the Bills. And could you imagine like that talent? Ooh,
yeah. I said that. I've been saying that, man, because of the connection. I thought, and that would be a great fit for him, you know, to reestablish himself. You know,
that's the one thing the Bills are missing right now. Like that's just it. Like, is a consistent lead back. Man, could you imagine? Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. You know,
well, so obviously not last week, but if Saquon has a return on investment like he did in game one and can keep that up, relatively speaking, for the season, he's going to have a market for sure.
Absolutely. And you got to remember the Giants are in, you know, Dave Gettleman really screwed up the cap and the Giants are in cap hell. So they can't sign Barkley and supposing, you know, Daniel Jones has this great season. We can't sign them. I don't even think we can sign either one of them. I think Daniel Jones, we might be able to give him a 2-year, you know, small deal that you know, but I'm sure he'll get more money out on the open market and he'll have to go. But I don't think that we could pay either one of those guys with our cap situation.
Right. Well, that just means that this year we're going to have the emergence of one David Sills.
That's right. With the Kenny Golladay, we get, you know, he's a big anchor on this team right now. Kenny Golladay, not David Sills, but right. Very excited to see him moving up. If you go on the Giant website, he's listed as number two on the depth chart, man, getting some targets, and is going to be that guy because Kenny Golladay he's disgruntled and, you know, he's, you know, not the guy. I don't know why the Giants went out and signed him in the first place. And then you go in the draft and draft a receiver on top of that. I mean, right. I don't get it, but you know, we're going to, you know, I don't know. We're going to have to eat a lot of Kenny Golladay's contract and he will not be a Giant after this season. I can almost, you know, guarantee that.
It was a weird signing. It didn't make much sense. You got camp bodies, I think, who are more consistent, you know, but he basically parlayed a lot of junk time in Detroit.
Yes. You know, absolutely. That's exactly what that was. That was him during junk time, making catches. And, you know, he played half a season. I mean, he's never really played a full season in his career, I don't think. So, you know,
yeah,
but, you know, most guys in the real world get arrested for committing a crime like that, you know, you know, stealing that much money from people, you know, but hey, congratulations to you.
So here's my question for you. With regards to the Rams Cardinals game, do you think that the Rams defense is going to have their way with Kyler Murray since he doesn't have Hopkins back yet? Do they even have? I guess they have Marquise Brown still healthy right now, but I could see Ramsey just blanketing Marquise Brown all day. Is this going to be?
I think Ramsey is overrated.
Okay,
he's overrated, and I think the Rams win that game. But I don't think it's going to be some crazy. I just think that they're going to be able to put. You know, they're probably going to put a spy on Kyler Murray, you know, get that linebacker spy and get him down. I don't see the Cardinals winning this football game.
I got you. What about the Raiders and Titans? Where are you feeling on that one?
You know, it's the Raiders. I think the Titans are, you know, that's another team. They're going to have to blow it up, which you saw them start, you know, getting rid of pieces. And they got a young quarterback. So we're going to start seeing him play some football.
Who'd they get?
They got the kid from Louisville, kind of that Lamar Jackson clone guy. I can't remember his name, but remember he sat in the green room for, you know,
right. I remember
2 days.
Yeah. You know? Yep. Yeah, I do remember that now. I just can't remember his name. And that obviously when he went there, they were like, oh, you know, interesting, because they were wondering about Tannehill. So,
right.
Then let's see. As we keep moving on, Lions and Vikings. Do you think it's going to be as competitive as possible, or do you think the Vikings just run away with this game?
Have you not watched the Lions play this year yet?
I was going to say, I'm just asking. I like the Lions competitive fight.
I like the Lions this year. I think the Lions might even win. I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy. I don't think Kirk Cousins is, you know, he's another guy. He's a Baker Mayfield. He's the reason your team is not winning. You know, he is a great junk time. Another guy took the junk time to pad his stats and get paid.
And he's a hustler, all right? He's Rick Ross every day. Because you think about how many of those years he took the Help me out here, man. I'm drawing like the one, yeah, the one year.
It's paid them the guaranteed. They franchised them two years in a row. And all that money was guaranteed. He made like $50 million in guaranteed money from the Redskins.
The franchise turned him into generational wealth, and then and then he fleeced the Vikings for that contract.
He did.
I love how Dan Campbell has changed the culture in Detroit.
Yeah.
He's not allowing them to even like remotely think of themselves as losers or you know, like let that culture seep in.
It's that kneecap stew, I guess, man. You know, when you start biting off kneecaps, man, it's good stuff.
I really enjoy what he's doing down there. I like Deuce Staley is telling DeAndre Swift, hey man, you gotta play through injury. You gotta be 80 if you're 80%. Your 80% is better than a lot of running backs in the league, so you got to play hurt a little bit because DeAndre Swift the last couple of years has kind of eased back on some of the injuries where he could have played through, and right. So Deuce Staley is really working to By the way, Deuce Staley is a guy I feel like eventually deserves a head coach position. I feel like he's been deserving the last couple of years and just kind of
And you know, you got to remember, you know, his credit, he's a hometown guy. You know, he played for the Eagles and he stayed with the Eagles. He could have went other places to kind of, but he wanted to stay and be with the Eagles. And I think that's kind of cost him a little bit, but now he's, you know, going out there in Detroit and really getting to show his true worth as a coach, you know.
So who knows when the carousel comes around this next time, you know, when
we
get Black Monday, you know, at the end of the year after the Super Bowl, we'll see if his name pops up on any of the vacancies that are bound to come up eventually.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
For instance, Carolina, right?
Yep.
Because I have to wonder, like, especially the small market teams when they fire their coaches.
But Carolina, I just think, you know, you're talking about one of the richest owners in all sports, and I think he's going to want to make a big splash and get some high profile, coach. I could see a real winner, Super Bowl winner type guy that, you know. We'll see. That's just my thing. I think that's where he'll go.
It's interesting, man, because like I remember when the Carolina Panthers first went to the Super Bowl, like the very first time, you know, Jake DeLone was the quarterback. But the crazy thing is nobody remembers that game because that was the Janet Jackson Super Bowl game. So nobody actually remembers that game. You know?
Yeah.
So it's funny to me. That franchise, but if you think about it. As a young franchise, what they've been 2-3 times. I mean, definitely twice because Cam went. So I guess
just twice. They've been twice. Yes, yeah, twice.
But considering how young the franchise is, mm-hmm. not too shabby. When you think about the other teams in the league, I mean, you know the established teams like obviously the Bears haven't sniffed it in so long, and
Detroit's never been.
Yeah, I forgot about Bears with Grossman though, Rex Grossman.
That's right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right, so we've almost round up every single game this week, I think, besides like Chiefs and Colts, and I don't think we have to talk about the Chiefs and Colts because I think we all know where that's going to go.
Yeah. Yes.
We know the direction for that one. Patriots, you think they're going to be able to handle? You think Bill Belichick's going to be able to handle the Ravens, or you think it's going to be a Baltimore game?
I think Bill's getting ready to, you know, this is week three, you know, Bill starts getting, that's like a freight train. It's slow moving out of the station and it takes a little while to get that thing building up and, you know, we'll see that. Cause you know, every year, the Patriots are done. They lose a game early, right. You know, and you know, you're always talking about them being, they're 2-3 or, you know, 4-3, they're done, and next thing you know, they rattle off 10 straight wins or something. So, I'm sticking with the Patriots.
Well, I'm going to go with the Ravens as a homer, but also because the Ravens signed the most famous three-fingered free agent on the market this week.
I saw that, man. Jason JPP. Paul. Yep. JPP.
Baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you're worth. Come on, man.
JPP. Oh, I love it, man.
Look, they got to do something with him. They got to do something in terms of the pass rush because, obviously, if you got a good pass rush, your defense can stink it up a little bit in the backfield and be covered. So, right.
And Mac Jones isn't the most mobile guy back there. Right. So, it's good. But here, funny, real quick, the kids in Florida, right before we gave them off for 4th of July, I said, hey, don't go JPPing yourself. And they're, oh, yeah, that's true. You don't want to do that. They're all, they all knew about that, man.
Between that and Plaxico Burress, man, we could do a show based on like the dumbest things
an NFL guy's ever done. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ridiculous. But crazy. I do hope, he gets a little bit of a, can finish out his career strong, maybe with Baltimore, maybe grab like 6 sacks in a year or something, just cause a disruption. I'm hoping for the Ravens to pull this one out. Rashad Bateman is starting to come around as a wide receiver, so it gives another target. Mark Andrews, of course, at tight end, is always a matchup nightmare, so we'll see what happens. But this running game, they need J.K. Dobbins back. They need Gus the Bus Edwards back as a change of pace. Because when your change of pace is nicknamed the Bus, a lot of it's the offensive line, the struggles of the offensive line for the Ravens.
Yeah, because, Staley has he played a full season? I feel like he's constantly on the IR.
Do you mean Edwards, Gus Edwards? Oh, Ronnie Stanley. I didn't hear you correctly. Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie Stanley has had at least a couple full seasons, but now, I don't know if he's going to be a shell of his former self. That injury took a long time for him to come back from, so I don't know what we're going to expect out of him in terms of, being the same player. And that's a shame because he was one of those high draft picks.
Yeah. First round. He was there to replace John Ogden, right?
Well, he fell, if I'm not mistaken, he fell because of the I think he fell because that was the Trubisky year with the swap of the picks.
Right.
Going up for way too many draft picks going up. Where they moved up really high to get Trubisky, and he fell to the Ravens. So he wasn't even expected to be there. But yeah, it's just a shame where they're at with that offensive line. But I also just don't want Greg Roman anymore. I feel like watching the Eagles last week, I got really jealous. I'll be honest. I got real jealous because I'm sitting there watching a team with a mobile quarterback who's firing all cylinders to his weapons. And also allows the run game to do its thing. I'm just, when Lamar Jackson shouldn't be the leading rusher on the team in any week, that's going to eventually lead to his career downfall.
And I'm going to throw a name out at you, when they start looking for an offensive coordinator.
What you got?
Chris Beatty, wide receiver coach for the Chargers, friend of the program. Okay. Was almost the OC for Minnesota. He interviewed for that job.
Yeah.
So, I could see him being an OC here shortly somewhere. And, we're rooting for him, man. He's good. He's a good guy, friend of the program. So, cool. And as we save the best for last, so to speak, the Monday night matchup.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a whiteout, which I kind of feel like, that's a college thing. It's not really a professional thing, but they're calling Giant Stadium going to be a whiteout. So, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. I'm excited. Monday, the Giants 2-0, first time since forever ago, and very, very, very excited about it. So,
what's funny? I can see them beating the Cowboys. Yeah, it could be 3-0. Cooper Rush. How about Jerry Jones causing a quarterback controversy and saying things like, remember the last time this happened, it was Dak replacing Tony Romo and Tony never touched the ball again.
Maybe after you paid the guy all that money, you know, I mean, come on now, come on. So, but, well, Professor, I appreciate you jumping in an hour early.
Yeah.
Well, hour early for me, it might be your regularly scheduled time to be up and about, but not for me.
I have a 2-year-old. I could have done this show. I could have done this show at like 4 a.m., man.
Oh man. No, I'm probably just, you know, winding down at 4 a.m., you know, a little more than partly cloudy at that time. The storm is raging, you know, it's when I get up in the morning, now we're, you know, we're down to partly cloudy, you know what
Hurricane
I mean?
Hurricane muddle. Watch out.
There you go. All right, everyone. Be safe. Enjoy some football. Make sure you share it with your friends. Tell your friends. We appreciate all the love you give us. And we'll see you guys next week, man. Be safe and enjoy some football. Have fun.
All right.
All right.